This hour of Overdrive, powered by The Source. For expert advice on the very best holiday gifts, visit The Source and chat with one of their tech experts. An afternoon drive home like no other.
Ray, do you not agree that the veteran guy that was out of the lineup, it's automatic next day in practice fight because he wanted to show the coach that he cared?
Guy.
Yeah.
When we had to do a battle drill or something, you'd go, uh-oh, that guy looks like an ornery bugger today. I do not want anything to do with him.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Feeling good this afternoon because this time of year, if you roll into a mall, a strip mall, a Costco, and you find a parking spot within 15 minutes, you've achieved something. And I've pulled that off multiple times recently.
You're still seeing brawls and arguments and stuff like that?
All the time. Really? I'm not kidding you. I greased a guy the other day. I didn't mean to.
There's no not meaning to. You either just wheel in with no signal and he's been waiting.
Well, that's kind of what happened, but there was we got lost in translation because he was waiting, I was waiting.
Right. Excuse me.
And then the guy pulled out and moved and I gave him the "you going."
Yeah.
And then he started waving and said, "No, you." But yeah. I think he meant you drive by and then
I'm
going to
roll in. And
but like, I just rolled
you.
Right in him. I'm like, you gave me the go-ahead.
Did he give you the stop and stare?
He gave me a stop and stare. And here's the weird thing. He drove off, and then by the time I got in the store, this guy's still doing laps.
Oh, my God.
And I got into my car about 45 minutes later, and the computer system was completely out of whack.
So you think he, like...
I kind of think this guy, instead of, like, slashing my tires, this guy, like...
He put a bug in
there. There's, like, a virus in my car.
You're lucky, because I think people would, like, smash a window or key a car and stuff.
Oh, this time of year?
For sure.
This time of year? Nobody's festive.
No.
Nobody's, you know, feeling the holiday spirit.
When you're at the mall, you're miserable.
Everyone's miserable.
Because everyone's a hero there. There's too many people. It's just too much. So, yeah, I wouldn't... I do all my shopping online. Like I say, Jeff Bezos, there's a reason why he's the richest guy in the world. It's because Amazon it has everything.
Convenience.
But if you are going to go to the mall, what you got to do, as soon as you walk out, you just, or as soon as you pull up, you just find somebody walking out and you say, "Where you parked?"
But even that's a brawl.
When you follow them,
even that can be a brawl somehow.
You creep behind them the whole time, and then you turn a corner, and there's a car waiting.
Right. Because you know what guys do is they sit in an aisle, and they just wait in the aisle.
They block it, and then
they claim, "I own anything that happens in this aisle."
Yeah, it is. There should. I mean,
it's ruthless.
There's some real FU contests. Like, people get after it.
Mm-hmm. See, and even getting back to like Amazon, I saw something online. You talk about karma. I saw. Apparently this is real. When stuff gets delivered to your house, people are driving by and stealing the packages.
Big problem right now.
I saw a lady break her leg. She ran up and grabbed the package and jumped off the front step to run to the car and snapped her leg. It was the greatest piece of karma.
Good for her.
I've ever seen.
Good for society.
But I mean, that's where cameras and everything come in. Like, I would love to have
Amazon,
somebody.
You don't have to sign for it. You just drop.
Well,
it
some
off.
A lot of times, if you've got a good guy that you have a relationship, they'll just leave it at your front door.
Oh, right? They do that all the time.
And
no one ever like they ring the doorbell. By the time you get to the door, they're gone.
They're gone. They're in their truck. And
they're out of here. Especially this time of year, they're not waiting for people to answer the door.
That's
ever.
Where a baseball bat and whatever
people are
else
stealing
you,
stuff all the time.
I would love to catch somebody stealing something.
Yeah,
just for fun.
Well, we had a spicy meatball at our house a couple of months ago. My wife was going to a bachelorette party. You know how girls are with bachelorette parties?
Yeah.
You got to get like underwear and like silly, sexy toys and all that. We ordered online. It got delivered to our neighbors.
Ooh.
They opened the package.
Like by mistake?
By mistake.
Yeah.
They didn't know it was there. They figured it was theirs. They thought they had something coming. They open it. They bring it over. They leave it at the front door. They do the doorbell and dash because they're not sticking around for this conversation.
Right.
And left the message, "Hey, sorry about this. It's the Johnsons from across the street."
Yeah.
Dude, have you never heard the famous hockey player story where the guy was playing out in the American Hockey League and he had some weird things delivered? Like drugs and just some goofy stuff. And The same last name was an employee at the rink, the player, and some older guy at the rink. So this older guy gets this package.
There's a bag of weed in there.
There's just drugs and things and other stuff. And he's like, what the hell's going on here? So they traced it back. And the guy, let's just say he had some meetings.
He was in trouble. His Hockey DB page was wiped off the internet.
It did.
Well, speaking of being in the holiday spirit, you guys hear Kawhi Leonard? You want to hear some new Kawhi? Listen, it's like, I don't even know if you can really...
Is it the Russian guy?
I don't know. I couldn't pick up on the accent about asking him
Christmas?
About his...
Well, he said Merry Christmas. He starts off by saying Merry Christmas.
Right.
Kawhi's just looking at him like,
okay,
I'm not
let's,
answering
Let's
this.
Hear the back and forth. I hope this translates. I hope it works on radio. If not, we'll just explain it.
So, Merry Christmas. Can you talk about your favorite Christmas moment?
Not right now.
Not right now.
Not right now. Not it happening. Is. Who is that guy, though? How did he get a credential? Who is that guy?
Because you can't... I mean, I would like to see... It would be interesting to have a public relations person on to see where the line is of who gets credentialed. Like, where is the imaginary line of that guy gets access to a dressing room and not? Like, is that Borat?
I don't know.
Was it a guy trying to be a jackass, or was it a legitimate question?
Well, we've seen that. When something big happens with the Maple Leafs, you're seeing people at press conferences that are never there.
Right.
They're human interests. They're not sports. Right. It's just, hey, what's...
But
blah,
that,
blah, blah.
That, I mean, I don't know the backstory. You're right. It could have been anything. It could be, hey, we're in L.A. or we're in Golden State, I guess, and it's Kawhi, and people are wondering what's going on with him, and... Maybe because it's the holiday season, there's a TV network, and they send this guy to every big sporty event, and this is what happens. But, you know, I love that Kawhi is just deadpan.
Yeah.
Didn't tell the guy to take a lap, didn't call him a jackass or anything, didn't goof on him. He just said, not right now.
Not right now.
Not right now.
No, that's, not right
now. You got to keep that. That could be another soundbite of the year.
Yes. Well, and suggesting not right now would mean at another, like a later date.
Like, what
but
if
I don't
the guy
picture
came
it.
Back? What if the guy came back in February and said, "Hey, I asked you a question around Christmas. Can I circle back on this question?"
Not right now.
Okay, I'll catch you in the summer.
It's awesome.
Just let me know, Kawhi. I'm going to connect with your people. You let me know when you're willing to regale us with the tales of Christmas past
at the Leonard's.
Not right now.
Yeah, but that was a fun night for Toronto sports last night because. The Raptors, they had lost three of four. They were in a bit of a slump, relatively speaking. They were still first overall. But and Kyle Lowry, it was all about Kyle, and he was 8-for-13 from the field last night. He had 21 points. He was exceptional. I thought Serge Ibaka, that's maybe the best game he's ever played as a Raptor. He was outstanding. Clippers team's pretty good. There's a big report out there, courtesy of ESPN. Brian Windhorst will join us in about 20 minutes. Linking the Clippers to a pursuit of Durant and Kawhi.
Isn't that?
So here we go.
There's no names attached to it, though. Is it just rumor?
Assumption?
I think it's connecting some pretty significant dots. If you read the piece.
I read the piece, and it's like the owner who's been...
Steve Ballmer's a lunatic, but he's got so much money. He's got that Microsoft money. He's willing to spend anything. Now, there's a luxury tax, and there's a soft cap, so there's only so much they can give these guys. But the real nugget, and I think the connecting of the dots, probably came courtesy of the Raptors, because they said that the Raptors have seen, at 75% of their games, an executive from the Clippers. Like, the GM is flying to Toronto to watch Kawhi. That doesn't happen. Right. You know, in pro, you don't see Brendan Shanahan being like, you know what, I'm going to go catch a Coyotes game and I'm out of here. That doesn't happen. You go and see your own team.
Or every one of the Coyotes games.
Yeah, like you could, one, well,
exactly.
It could be a
okay,
one-off.
Okay, maybe a one-off, I'm down there for a meeting or whatever. But you're right. You know, okay.
He said there's been someone at all of the games and all of Golden State games.
Right. And so he is, what Windhorst is reporting with his colleague is they're approaching this as like a college recruitment. We're always around. We always want you to know. You know, we're interested in you. Although I don't really know why you need to show up at the games to let them know. I mean, I'm sure they're aware of it. So we'll see what Windhorst has to say about the significance of executives being at all these games and what these players are supposed to do about it or how they're going to respond.
Right.
But you know, this is the first of many, and I'm sure there's been more than just one. But get used to it. We knew this was coming. All year it's going to be Kawhi to the Clippers, Kawhi to the Lakers, Kawhi to this, Kawhi to that. So Windhorst in about 20 minutes. And Leafs off the schneid last night. Leafs looked pretty good. You know, that's what you needed.
Man, that was a sleepy Tuesday night game in Carolina.
Yeah, it seemed like it was going
Nobody
to be,
was
but
in
I
the
thought
building.
They were moving
was,
pretty well.
But wouldn't you think Carolina would have watched some game tape against Boston and said, okay, we got to make things a little bit uncomfortable here. It was like a, oh, you want to go get the puck? Okay, go get the puck. And if you score, great. If not, great too. It was just one of the, I played there, and Tuesday night sleepers, they're a whole different animal than any other building. It's just, I mean, you saw the crowd. It was, and Toronto took advantage of it.
Yeah, I thought they played pretty well.
They got beat up in there last time. They got beat up on Saturday night, so it was a good win to kind of get things back on track.
Little
Tampa coming up
game.
Thursday.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah,
and, tomorrow
night's a
good tune-up
game
against, yeah, you're right,
tune-up game for
Tampa.
I thought William Nylander kind of took a stride to, he looked better, looked like he could do some more things.
Now,
that's what
I was gone.
Expecting. That
I was
is
gone.
What I was expecting to happen.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I was going to say,
fanboy?
Do I even address this?
That's literally gone. What I said. I said, I don't think he's going to be perfect. I'm not saying he's going to play 25 minutes, but I expect him to contribute and play better. Is that not exactly what happened last night?
Yeah. It's getting better.
All right. I don't think that was outrageous, and that's exactly what happened last night.
So it was a bit of a kerfuffle.
Well, you don't think I hear about these things? My Twitter feed is rolling in. They're like, we need somebody to break this up. Hayes and Ferraro are going at it. Steph said there was like a Reddit chain or something like that.
Oh, people are going crazy.
I don't go on Reddit anymore because somebody directed me there, and there was a thread about me. Some guy's like, I hate Jamie McLennan because... I went up to him in a store and asked him if he was Jamie McLennan, and he said no and ran out. And I said, oh, that sounds to me. I'm like, that sounds exactly like me. Maybe it was not me and ran out. Like, I can't do it. But Steph's like, there was a Reddit chain, there was Team Hayes, there's Team Ferraro. I'm like,
people have been going crazy. It's been like a wrestling. It's almost like a wrestling match.
But like, I've deleted Facebook, I've deleted Instagram. I think Twitter is coming up.
No, I like Twitter. I think Twitter is...
It's too much. Like, you just read it, and it's like one person has a comment about that, and 10 other people call the person an idiot.
Yeah.
And the political stuff, it's like, it's not...
Yeah.
That's the awkward thing.
It's almost like I just want to get a ghost account and read, like, news and just...
Kevin Durant, this bad boy. Just go Durant on Twitter. And you're right. I mean, that's the awkward thing about it. Like, Ray's our good buddy, and... He's been on this show for 3 years since we moved here. I've been doing hits with Ray 5 days a week for almost 8 years.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of dust-ups and disagreements.
That wasn't even close
to
like
even
the
close.
Worst. Like,
and the awkward thing about Twitter is you get everyone's like, you know, Hayes, you're a goof. And then the next guy's like, Ray's a clown. I'm like, guys, just relax. It doesn't matter. Like, why? If you guys care more than we do.
Yeah, it was.
Like, it really, we had a disagreement, and there were some shots taken, and it doesn't matter. It'll happen again in, like, the next 6 months, I guarantee you.
Oh, for sure. But we all have our dust-ups, but, like, there's a layer of respect, and we're all very close. Like, we have a texting chain. Ray gets involved. Like, we're close, and there's a ton of mutual respect, and you can... disagree on something, and to me, it like Steph's like, you got to go back and listen to the 5 o'clock hour. So I'm like listening to it. I'm like, yeah, okay. So it went a little bit sideways. I thought it was like going to be the Crosby Kessel argument.
That was a good one back in the day. That was only
like
me and him for like 20 minutes,
ago. And
like,
I was the one sitting.
You're
there
sitting there, and we're yelling at each other, like yelling about Phil versus Sid. Like it was.
I don't even remember.
Great content.
I remember. I remember the question.
Great content.
You weren't on the show yet. The question was, for the rest of this season,
right?
Would you take Phil Kessel or Sidney Crosby? Because Phil was lighting it up, and Sid was just coming off of a concussion.
Exactly. After the long one.
On the long
concussion.
And
he starts against the Islanders. He scores a hat trick the first night.
And it was context.
Yes.
And the problem is there's no context, because if it got tweeted out, people were like, Hayes, you're an idiot.
Yes.
But the argument was very spirited and very heated and like yelling and screaming for 20 minutes. This was like a couple offside comments and like, let's move on
right.
type of thing.
It was really not that much, but it'll come back up in about 45 minutes.
I thought it was.
But awesome. I thought, all kidding aside, I thought Nylander, listen, he's still not, I don't know when he's going to be in mid-season form. It may be in a month. It may not be at any point this year where he feels 100% comfortable. He may not. But he's too talented not to do something out there when he's getting opportunities and he's playing some minutes. And I thought, He was more comfortable with the puck on a stick. I thought he had a presence in the neutral zone last night, which is where he's very effective and he can be.
Yeah.
He put it on a tee for Marlowe. That was a really pretty play.
Yeah.
And this is why we talked about him forever, because he was worthy of that kind of discussion, even though it got goofy at
times.
Because there just wasn't enough details in terms of what was happening. But he's a really good player. And when he rounds into form, he makes them a very, very good team, which, you know, they already are. He just adds to it. But I got to be honest, you know who really impressed me last night just based on the past week? And he's impressed me all year. He's impressed me his whole career, is Morgan Riley.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, I don't want to get into the captaincy debate because it doesn't matter and the team's going to choose it. And we all think that Matthews is going to be the guy.
Yeah.
But this is where you guys always say it's not one guy, it's a committee. And sometimes the guy without the C on the jersey is actually the C.
He's the leader, yeah.
He was in, when Cronwall hit Matthews, Riley put on a bit of a show to try to get after him.
Right.
You know, now he didn't end up doing anything, whatever. He was in the middle of the Boston.
Yeah, scrum.
No, he got laid out by Wagner, but then he showed some life. And he has been talking every day. He's like, we're tough enough. We're going to be tough enough. We're going to do it. We believe in ourselves. We're going to go out there. And they were challenged for the first time all year because it's been a pretty pampered scenario, which they've deserved that type of atmosphere because they played so well. But for the first time all year, the city was kind of like poking some holes at him. And I thought he played great last night. Like, I thought he was like, we're winning this game. And that's exactly what leaders do and great players do. And I thought Morgan Riley was outstanding.
Yeah, he's, you know, he understands that. You could tell he's that offensive-minded defenseman who's playing with a lot of poise. He just looks, reads the play, and he just puts his head down and skates 100 miles an hour up the ice and gets open. Like that penalty on Dougie Hamilton. He just jumped up into the rush, wheels in there, gets into the slot. Dougie Hamilton's good. He's just, I agree with you. He's playing fantastic.
I think even more than that, Morgan just gets it. Like, here's a guy, you know, he's a Vancouver kid, but he understands playing in a Canadian market, understands playing in this market. Ike had, I know this, but I know that he had a special relationship with Phaneuf and watched the type of duress that a captain could be under. You know, watched how other players around him while he was developing carried themselves, developed his own style. He's affable. Like, there's not really anything from a negativity standpoint when you look at Morgan. Like, I think he's a complete package because, you know, he is morphed into what today's number one defenseman looks like. Like, you know, good skating, can distribute the puck, can play in all scenarios. Like, that's what you want out of somebody. And I think he's a terrific person. You're like, when you build a team and you have character people and you talk about intangibles, like, he's got all that, but he's got the package as a player. Like, I've always been a fan, and I think I was one of the guys who I felt like he could be a captain. I always said, if it's not Matthews, he's the guy. Like, again, let's not even get into that debate. It doesn't
they
matter.
They got a bunch of, they're in a good spot because they got a bunch of options.
Exactly. So it's, but it's,
maybe he still does become the guy.
You know, I personally think it's Matthews, but I would have no problem if the Maple Leafs made an announcement at 4:20 today and say, we decided to name Morgan Riley the captain. Great. And Austin Matthews and John Tavares are going to be assistants, or whoever you want to disperse it to. I don't think there's a bad choice in when you're dealing with a couple of those players. But, like, Morgan is a...
Well, we're talking about captain tendencies and what you see in a captain.
Exactly. He's
and
got that.
Again, I don't need to see... I'm not even talking about who's going to get it or whatever. It doesn't... Again, it's their decision, and they're going to let us know. But regardless if he has it or not, he is, to your
point...
He's
a leader.
He's a leader. He gets it. He's a seasoned vet, and he's only, like, 24 years old.
He gets it, and what's...
And his performance last night, I think, showed that.
He gets it in this market, which to me is a little bit different than getting it in Arizona or
Absolutely.
Getting it in Carolina.
It's a totally different beast.
It's a different animal.
It's a totally
regardless
different
of
beast.
How we like to label it, like, playing in this market, you have to have a certain type of mindset, especially if you're going to be a long-term guy. That's the one thing that I've learned from former Leafs and talking to them. One former Leaf told me, he said that for an average player, they felt like a five-year window playing here was about enough because it's just you go through the ringer. It's every day you got to be on and that. Like, they were this particular player ended up going south and said, like, it was a breath of fresh air to not, like, just to come to the rink and just, like, not have to deal with everything. But he loved playing in Toronto. But he said, like, he felt for his personality, there was an expiration date. I think Morgan can be a long-term guy because he has that temperament.
And I think winning helps it as well. Obviously. I don't know who you're talking about, but if they were here during the...
It's not Phaneuf. People will say,
I know.
Dion loved it here, but it was another player who was played just
part
before
of the,
Dion.
And the darker ages, quote-unquote.
That's
understandable.
Exactly.
But, all right, Brian Windhorst coming up, ESPN reporting that the Clippers are all in on the pursuit of Durant and Kawhi Leonard, and specifically when it comes to the executives, the owner, and how they're using this season basically as a college recruitment. We'll get his take on that. We'll tee up the game at Golden State. Raptors about a 6.5-point dog, which is not surprising. The Warriors are healthy. They're rolling again. But the Raptors, they got him a couple of weeks ago at home. They played great last night. Kawhi is a game-time decision. We'll tee the game up with Brian. We'll get to that next. All right, Jerry's percentages in about an hour. Brian Windhorst of ESPN will join us here in a moment. Raps in Golden State tonight, taking on the Warriors. I saw the line, I think it opened at 6. Warriors were favored by 6. It has been bet up to 6.5. It's a tough spot for the Raps. You know, Warriors are healthy, they're grooving, they're at home waiting for them. Raps played last night against a very good team in L.A. The Clippers have been a surprisingly good team this year, but Raps played well. Kawhi out with a bruised hip, but we don't know if he's going to play tonight. We'll find out. So we'll catch up with Brian in just a moment. I'm just reading this piece online. It's circulating on Twitter. Tom Dundon, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, was on Leafs Lunch yesterday, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And I was impressed by his interview. It's refreshing. He's different. Whether you like him or not, he's different.
They discuss things like dress code and different
He's got a different view on stuff and promoting stars. And, you know, he wants like 24 teams in the playoffs. I don't agree with that.
Well,
but
he wants that because his team can't get in.
Yeah. I think that's exactly why. But still, like, I understand why he personally would be like, get my team in. I need more revenue. But I guess he did an interview, must have been with a paper down in Carolina. And there's a couple of quotes coming out. And they are spicy meatballs, like bulletin board material for future GMs that might want to take the gig or might not want to take the gig. He said that the Hurricanes will focus on offense and skill going forward. Defense can be bought, he said. Quote, we won't be drafting defense in the first round as long as I'm here.
It's an asinine comment.
It's a crazy comment. And then listen
to
this.
He wants offense, but he walked into a negotiation with Elias Lindholm, and he said, sign this number or we're trading you. And him and the agent were like, oh, okay. Trade us. What do you think? This is the New York Yankees, and we're winning championships?
But
trade
also,
us. And he goes to Calgary, and he's one of the best players in the league now. Jeff Skinner, I know it was a mutual separation, but he's got 21 goals for the Buffalo Sabres.
OT winner.
So there's
again.
Some of your offense, bud.
But that's... It doesn't make sense, because you even said this off-air, Brian. Like, what if they get the first overall pick and Darlene's sitting there? No, don't want him.
Sorry, I said I'm not taking
You need to advance
that.
The puck. Like,
what
you got
the
all
comment?
These...
Defense can be bought?
Defense can be bought, which could not be further from the truth. It's the hardest position to attain in the league right now. It's,
if you could buy defense, guess who would buy it? The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Happily. And there are 15 other teams in the league. But this is the quote that is going to come back to haunt him, I think, if you're a fan down there. He said, quote, I've got to have more offense. I want to lose 5-4, not 2-1. If we lose 5-4, I will at least have fun, end quote. So that sounds like it's a vanity purchase, which a lot of these guys, they're in the business. They have so much money. Hey, it would be great to own a team, and I'm going to be involved. But that's got to be... If you're a fan, you're like, really, dude, you only care that you're personally entertained? Like, even if you lose, as long as there's 9 combined goals, you're going to walk out of there happy? This team hasn't made the playoffs in years.
Yeah,
You know, I know the fan base isn't that big, but there are diehards down there. I mean, you could speak to that.
It's a silly comment.
It's too heroic. Like, I know you're trying to be different, and I get it, and you're trying to be outlandish and make a name for yourself, I guess, and you're doing that, but... That just doesn't seem like a quote you want to be attached to.
Well, it doesn't seem like, and it's his right because he's worth a ton of money, but it doesn't seem like a guy who's in touch with actual hockey. Like, that's what, doesn't know like,
exactly.
What the hell hockey's
I think he's
all
trying
about.
To be like a Mark, everyone says he's trying to be like a Mark Cuban. Apparently they have a friendship, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to...
Right. But I don't think, like, Cuban wasn't like, I don't want 7-footers from Germany.
Well, don't kid yourself. He said some comments that are ridiculous.
Yeah. It's true. All right, Raps in Golden State tonight, taking on the Warriors, coming off a big win last night in L.A. against the Clippers. Kawhi did not go. There's a piece on ESPN about the pursuit of Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant by the Clippers, and they're being very, very original with this pursuit. To chat about it, here's Brian Windhorst of ESPN. What's up, Brian?
I don't know anything about hockey either, to be honest.
It's all good, man.
Come on, you got some scoops for us, don't you? A little hockey scoop for us?
I don't even know how many guys are on the ice, so go ahead and make fun of me.
That's all good. That's no problem, man.
But you're not owning a team.
I'm an ugly American all through and through.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. We'll battle you if we have to, but yeah, we were talking about an owner of a team down in Carolina saying crazy stuff, and Cuban's been real quiet. Like, we'll get to your piece in a moment, but obviously he got into some real hot water in the past 12 to 18 months. He seems to be really quieted down. Am I missing something, or?
Mark Cuban has been, the evolution of Mark Cuban over the last, like, 5 to 7 years has been a fascinating. Now, granted, what happened to him with his team is a completely unique situation, and that's his own thing. But if you go back and look the way he operated 10 years ago, he was overpaying everybody. He just was spending money wildly. They were number one in payroll year after year after year. He was constantly in a battle with David Stern. He was getting fined almost monthly for things. Now the Mavericks have been one of the lower spenders. They've been more in the middle of the pack for the last 5 to 7 years, and he has kept his mouth shut basically since Adam Silver got in there. He's undergone quite a transformation, you know, as an owner, and it's really been interesting to watch, actually, if you're paying attention to it.
With Brian Windhorst of ESPN. So you've caused quite a stir up here in Toronto, and I'm sure in the Bay Area as well, and probably in L.A., I would think, Brian. The piece is up online, ESPN.com. The Clippers' bold plan to land Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant. Take us through the boldness of this plan.
Well, I think that the Clippers are the biggest threat to the Raptors to take Kawhi Leonard. And I think the Clippers see it that way, and that's the way they've operated since the trade. And that's going to be the way it goes. I mean, one of the things that's happening in the NBA right now, you have a team like the Warriors who are so far and above everybody else, combined with the fact that we have a free agent market that has 3 to 5 impact free agents, depending on how you want to define that. And then we have major markets with big cap space. So the Knicks, the Nets, the Clippers, the Lakers, a couple more teams, but the biggest markets with the cap space. You have a recipe for teams to be obsessed with free agency. And even though the Clippers are having a pretty good year so far, they're 17-10. I think they're 4th or 5th place in the West, which is really good. That's overachieving for them. Their focus as an organization is on free agency. And Kawhi Leonard is from Southern California. You know, they see Kawhi as a guy who may not necessarily want to play with LeBron, although I'm going to say, as you guys know, reading Kawhi Leonard is very difficult, if not impossible. So everybody's just making different levels of educated guesses. But the Clippers think they have a legitimate shot at stealing Kawhi Leonard, and they would have felt that way whether he got traded to any team in the league. And it's not really that much of a secret. They have designed their books to open up 2 maximum salary slots, so that they have something that very few teams have had in the history of the NBA, which is enough money to attract 2 max-level players and a team around them that's not too bad. You know, they're not going to be in the, in the top 3 picks where they're, you know, they've got 15 wins or whatever. It's very rare to see a situation like that. And they're playing in a city that's desirable to play, and they have the richest owner, I believe, in American sports. The guy is worth $30 billion, who is willing to invest anything in that team. And you have a potentially attractive situation, and they're going to swing for the fences. Whether or not they get the guys, that I can't say. It's very difficult to read ahead into free agency, but they're going to swing.
What is the deal with having an executive at all the Raptors games? Apparently an executive at all the Warriors games to watch Kevin Durant. I mean, why do you need to watch these players? You pretty much know what they're bringing to the table. And, like, what if the player found out, they'd feel good about that? That an executive from the Clippers was at all the home games or all the Raptors games? Well, what is the reasoning behind that?
I don't think they've been to all of them, but they've been to a lot of them. But, this same thing happens with recruiting in for great high school athletes. There are times when you know in basketball you're not allowed to talk to the recruit, but the coaches come and show their face. Mike Krzyzewski gets on his private jet, flies up to a high school game, sits in the stands, waves at the guy, goes on. It is an unorthodox way of doing it. Some of the executives that they're sending and scouts that they're sending, Kawhi wouldn't necessarily recognize, but it is the tact that they are taking. And at the end of the day, if they're able to land, whether it's Kawhi or Durant or another free agent, and this tact contributed 0.5%, and again, your owner is worth $30 billion and he doesn't care about the cost of sending these guys, then the ends justify the means.
Is the fact we're talking about it like mission accomplished?
I can tell you right now, the Clippers were not happy I had that line in there. They came after. I thought it was a Valentine story, but they were not thrilled about that, that they were revealed. Although, you know, if you've been to a Raptors game this year, there's a better than average chance that you've seen a Clipper official there. Certainly the games that I've been to, I've seen Clipper officials there. So it's not like it's something that they could hide. But I would say this, from a Clippers perspective, this has been a laughing stock franchise for 40 years. The fact that anybody would say they were, you know, they saw the Clippers as a threat to do anything, even if it's to just even get a meeting with a free agent, it's a major, major step in what they want to be as a franchise. So I would say that even, you know, having the Raptors take notice of it is in some ways a victory.
With Brian Windhorst of ESPN, somehow LeBron, you know, factors into the whole NBA universe. Him being in L.A. with the Lakers, do you picture that affecting these other guys? I mean, I keep hearing people say, you know, Kawhi or Durant, they may not want to play with LeBron, but do they want to even be in his orbit in L.A.?
The answer that I can give you is I don't know. And I think that, you know, that may sound like it's an ignorant answer, but I actually think it's a telling answer, because there was a time when I felt like guys would crawl over glass to play with LeBron, and we're seeing some signs of that not necessarily being the case anymore. You know, we saw Paul George, who could have joined the Lakers with LeBron, his hometown team, and he elected not even to meet with them, even though he knew LeBron was very likely going to be going there. We saw Kyrie Irving demand a trade away from playing with LeBron, even though they'd won a championship together. When Jimmy Butler furnished the Timberwolves with a list of teams he wanted to be traded to, he included the Clippers, but did not include the Lakers. So what do we take from this? Do we take from this that there is a desire that LeBron is pushing people away a little bit? Or do we take from it that it was just individual one-offs and that the Lakers are a historically glamorous franchise and playing for them and competing for championships is amazing, and that somebody, one of these major free agents, and it only takes one, will say yes? Again, I'll go back to saying I don't know. But the fact that it's in a gray area, I think, is something that further emboldens the Clippers to try to go after these guys.
Who do you think would be more likely as of today to take up the offer? Would it be Durant to the Clippers or Kawhi to the Clippers?
That's a really good question. I think when it comes to free agency, the mistake that you can make is by casting ballots in December or January. I think all that really matters is what the score is on the scoreboard at the end of the season. And so I could give you a flippant answer that could be turned into a headline somewhere, but it would just be that, a flippant answer. But I do know that the Clippers, I do believe, will be a serious threat. And, you know, I think the Raptors have to feel pretty good about the way things have gone with Kawhi, but he's just so hard to read, guys. You know, last year, by midseason, the Thunder were like, you know what, I think this is going okay with Paul George. I think we got a real shot here. You know, they were able to kind of get a read on what was going on. There's no read with Kawhi, and that's what makes it a little bit, not only challenging, but also scary.
Yeah, and very consistent.
Tampering, and I'm not happy about it.
What's that?
I think it's like borderline tampering. I don't know, the Clippers and showing up. I just...
We're sensitive up here because everyone wants Kawhi to stick around. But, you know, to your point.
Well, I don't know if it's tampering, but I'm going to tell you that tampering in the NBA is rampant. And
no kidding.
And if you're not doing it, you're not trying.
Right.
I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just telling you that accusing another team of tampering, no one will ever accuse anybody of tampering in the NBA formally because then they'd get investigated themselves.
I want Masai at the Oracle tonight, waving at Kevin Durant the whole game. Just wave at
standing
him.
There.
Come to Toronto. Why not?
You know what? He could probably do it, and nobody would, you know, I mean, me maybe get made fun of, but it wouldn't. Nobody would accuse him of anything legal.
Right, exactly. Great piece, Brian. Thank you for doing this, man.
Have a good week, guys.
There's Brian Windhorst of ESPN. So, you know, he's right about Kawhi. It's the guy's like wallpaper. You cannot get a read on him. Like, it's... I have no idea what he's thinking. It must be really frustrating because
I think
you know,
only him and his family knows what he really wants to do.
I feel
maybe
like
not
would,
even that.
I was gonna say I feel like he wouldn't even tell his like
buddies,
family members, and be like, "Yeah, we'll see what happens." Like,
mm-hmm. Not interested.
He's one of those guys. He just seems like one of those guys.
Well, nowadays, Jamie, don't you agree? Like with social media, and it's like your buddies are almost like a detriment. Like if you go out and tell your buddies,
yeah.
"This is my intention." Joe from the Bridge has got a buddy that knows a cousin. And
I guarantee you, John Tavares went through it on a smaller level, or not even smaller level, same type of level. But I bet you Tavares had to keep it very, very tight. Like him and his fiance probably knew, and maybe
his
father.
Well, that's when it started. The fiance got a job at a hospital in Toronto. What does that mean? It's like,
but that's like
crazy stuff.
He must have been asked every day from what end of the season, April on.
Well, and think about it, yes, 100%, because they missed the playoffs and he came right back to Toronto. Like he made Tavares, maybe they went to Europe for a couple of weeks, I don't know. But by the end of April, he would have been at his house in Toronto and everyone knew it was coming.
Everyone was asking us.
Everyone was asking us. You know everyone would have been asking him. But could you imagine being LeBron in Cleveland last? So he's in Cleveland and they're asking if you're staying.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure Tavares got it in New York to an extent. If fans saw him, hey, are you going to sign the deal? Are you going to stick around? But, you know, he's not from there and it's not as big of a fan base. Imagine LeBron in Cleveland the past 12 months before he left. How many people would have been asking him?
Yeah.
You're sticking around, right? Like, and he wouldn't have been able to say anything. And Tavares, the same thing once he finally got home.
Yeah.
Paid off for the Leafs. Tavares with another goal last night. And Marner, brilliant play on that, but... Miller was saying during the game, Gord was saying, like 13 of the 17 games Matthews and Tavares have both been in the lineup for, they've scored at least one goal. It's a pretty good 1-2 punch.
It is.
Rays coming up in about 20 minutes. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on the Red Wings December 23rd. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you can call in and name that Leaf, and you're going to see the Leafs take on Detroit.
Give me the clue, and I'll tell you who it is right now.
All right, this is the clue. This Maple Leaf scored a career-high 21 goals in 2013-2014.
Nazem Kadri.
No, he had 30 in back-to-back years.
Career-high at that point.
Yeah, no, this Maple Leaf scored a career-high 21 goals in the 2013-2014 season.
Oh, I thought at that point.
No, I think in general, his whole career, that was the best.
Yeah, no.
I think it's a defenseman.
21 goals as a D-man?
21 goals is the career high. I think I know who it is, actually.
Who?
I think it's Deion.
Deion never got 21 in a season.
He did.
His rookie year, he had 20-something.
But not...
Not in 13-14.
Yeah, not in 13-14. I think it's like a Bozak.
There was a clue earlier in the week that would... suggest it wasn't Tyler Bozak. But anyway, another week where we have no idea. So we can't really help you out.
Well, at least we tried.
Yeah, we're trying.
We'll Alan Mulls think they're stumping us back
there. Al thinks he's so funny. Every week he thinks he's hilarious because he comes up with...
Yeah, he thinks he's like...
And Mullen's in there too. Like, both of them are such nerds.
Didn't like me tapping out going, at least we tried.
Yeah, we tried. We gave it a good effort.
I don't know. I think it could be the gentleman that I brought up. Nope.
It's not.
He had 19 that year.
All right.
So.
Any more guesses?
No, I'm going to leave it. Oh, you got to give us the Kawhi. No more guesses. Any more guesses?
Not right now.
Thank you, Kawhi.
Right now.
Just Mr. Personality. I hope he plays tonight. It's the game time decision. We don't know yet, but Kevin Durant was kind of pandering to that idea earlier. He's pumping the tires of the Raptors.
What was your comment? Like, hey, easy, Kevin.
Because of this ESPN piece where they're linking Durant and Kawhi to the Clippers, I don't need to hear Durant pumping the tires of Kawhi Leonard.
Best he's ever looked.
Yeah, I don't know.
Found another level, all of that.
Like, we get it, Durant. Like, tweet that out on a burner account, and that's fine, but just relax with the Kawhi commentary.
Hilarious.
So we'll see if he goes tonight. But obviously the Raptors coming off a big win last night. Some big news in the NFL we got to get to later in the afternoon. Carson Wentz not going this weekend. He may be shut down for the season.
Oof, and major injuries for that dude.
That's 2 years in a row. Like,
no, it's more than that. Broken wrist.
Yeah. Well, last year, though, he blew his knee out. What was it, week 13, I think? Like, he was an MVP lock. Yeah. And this is a guy who, deservedly so, was considered... Okay, he's the next wave. When Brady's done, when Rodgers is done, it's Carson Wentz. And he still has that talent, but another major injury, and he hasn't looked great this year.
That opened the door for...
Mahomes and...
No, I mean last year.
Oh, Nick Foles.
Yeah, Foles.
Yeah, and I guess Nick Foles now, like, he's back in there. Is he capable of saving their season again?
Probably. Maybe. If this guy saves their season...
Oh, Hall of Fame. Philly Hall of Fame. Man, he might be in there already. All right, race coming up. Jerry's percentages at 5:30.
This hour of Overdrive was powered by The Source. For expert advice on the very best holiday gifts, visit The Source and chat with one of their tech experts.